How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the fourth episode of Crunch Time Opinion. I'm Dan Berman. Joining me today is none other than Brett Helpern. Brett is a former Division I football college scout recruit. There, he was a participant in the defensive line module of the Scouting Academy. Brett also co-hosts his own podcast called Goal Line Stand Show and In the Fight Podcast. You can stream them on all platforms. Once again, that is at GL Stand Show and at In the Fight. On top of that, Brett is also a New York Giants season ticket holder that has been in the family since 1946. Brett, a family friend for a long time and also an avid Giants fan like myself. Brett, I'd like to welcome you now. First of all, how are you doing? How have you been holding up during these unprecedented times?
Hey, Dan, it's great to join you on your podcast. Doing okay, you know, just adjusting to the new normal. Definitely miss going into restaurants and just miss, you know, seeing people, but you know, just doing my part to stay healthy and also try to keep the community safe. So how you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. You know, it's been one of those things where every night, you know, it's like takeout. You haven't gone into a restaurant in like months. And that type of thing, but also making sure that you're staying safe and social distancing for, you know, until we get the vaccine in place. So I'm glad you're doing well, Brett. And today, Brett and I are going to discuss some NFL and some of our predictions for the upcoming season and talk about what we think we will see from our team, the Giants, this upcoming year. So, Brett, I'll first start off with a big headline in the NFL nowadays with the Redskins, the Washington Redskins, and the name change that they have put in place. Now, since the 1960s, this name has been questioned by Native Americans. And now, obviously, since the incident, you know, regarding George Floyd, everybody has taken a deeper look into statues and different things that could be offensive. And this is one of them. So there's possible names that could be put in place. I have some possible names here of Washington Freedom, the Washington Airmen, Washington Americans. You know, some have said the Washington Red Tails, I know, is a popular name that has come out. But Brett, what is your take on them taking the name away, first of all, and some possible names that you might think of?
Well, I would say that first, I'm glad that Washington is finally elected to do this. I think it's a long time coming and should have been done a while ago. You know, as you sort of alluded to, you know, with the current climate stemming from the unfortunate murder of George Floyd, you know, we're re-examining a lot of things in society. You know, a lot of people complain about cancel culture and things of that nature. And perhaps there are some instances in which cancel culture goes a little too far. But in this case, I don't believe that's the case. As you know, so eloquently pointed out, since the 1960s, members of the Native American community have complained about the logo and the mascot name for the Washington football team. So I think that particularly when a group has been consistently complaining about a logo or a mascot and saying that it's offensive, we should take steps to remove it. It's not that difficult. And the fact that it's the pro football team that represents our nation's capital, in some ways, it almost sets an even bigger example than all the other teams. As for the potential name changes, one of the other ones I heard, I don't know if you heard this one, was that they were looking into the Washington Sentinels, which would be named after the team from The Replacements. Wow. So I did a little research into, I didn't know what a Sentinel was, but apparently it is some form of a guard. So in a way, I guess the name makes sense in guarding the nation's capital. But I just think it'd be a little too corny to name the team after a team from a movie. I mean, you know, we had the Anaheim Mighty Ducks and, you know, they dropped the mighty part from it. The one that you mentioned that I like the most is the Red Tails, which for those that don't know, the Red Tails was the name given to the Tuskegee Airmen, which was the all black squadron from World War II. And for reasons beyond our comprehension, they had to distinguish the black pilots by painting a red tail on their planes. But, you know, those airmen served honorably for our country. So that would be great. The other thing that I don't quite understand, I think it would be great if the football team could gather with the Native American community and maybe even come up with a name that honors the Native American community in a positive light.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I think that would be really cool as well.
Yeah, I like that what you said. I think that would make the most sense, you know, like they should go over to the Native Americans and they should discuss it with them.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't see why, I don't know why they're not doing that, but it's definitely should be in the cards and on the table, but right now as we speak, they are just called the Washington Football Team. It should be interesting what they decide to call them.
Yeah.
But right there, we just listed out a couple names for you. Once again, the Freedom, the Airmen, Americans, Revolutionaries, Red Tails, and like Brett just mentioned, the Citadels. Is that what? Yeah, the Citadels. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what this is going to turn out to be? But now we will dive into talking about the NFL in the upcoming year. And first of all, I want to start off with, first of all, Brett, what did you think of the draft? I know it was done virtually this year.
Yeah.
And you know, what were just a, you know, quick little brief, what were your take on that? How did you perceive that?
You know, I mean, Dan, as you well know, the draft is one of my favorite events all year. For the audience, every year, Dan and his father, who is like my second father, join me, and we always have a great time watching the draft. So I definitely miss that. But at least, look, it's like everything else in this world, we're adapting. And, you know, they did as good a job as possible. I actually, one thing I really enjoyed was seeing the coaches, and it sort of humanized them a little bit, right? The coaches were sitting, or and the GMs were sitting around with their kids, and you know, so it definitely humanized them a little bit. I mean, even Bill Belichick had a dog. I mean, you know, people think of Bill Belichick as this stoic person who doesn't really have relationships. And you know, like another example, you know, people give Bill O'Brien a really difficult time. And I'm not sure if you caught this, but you know, Bill O'Brien has a son with special needs. So it really just, I think it reminded you that this is a game. And you know, so and it was nice to see all the players with their families and things of that nature. It was different. You know, I look forward to the day when we could all first, when you and your father could come over and we could watch it together. And I really was enjoying the last several years when they were doing the grand scale drafts. You know, the one in Philly was amazing. The one in Tennessee was great. So I look forward to that. But they did a good job of adjusting.
Yeah, and like you pointed out, we're, you know, you're talking about Bill O'Brien, and also from our Giants, you know, Dave Gettleman getting a lot of hate for wearing the mask, and not a lot of people
Yeah.
knew he had cancer, you
Yeah.
know, so that's another big thing, you know, so. There's always some people that, you know, talk too early or speak too soon and
Yeah.
don't look into the real facts, which is always important. Now, we're going to first start off by saying, what's the most exciting rookie, speaking of the draft, we're excited to see play and why? For me, it's actually from our Giants. I'm excited to see Xavier McKinney.
Okay.
I'm excited to see him. I think, you know, coming out of Ohio State, I'm looking forward to seeing him. You know, I think we really, obviously for the Giants, they need so much help, but unfortunately, you know, the backfield of the Giants, and I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. What is your player that you're most excited to see?
So, if you'll allow me, I do have two, and I'll explain why I have a second one
Yeah,
in a
go ahead.
moment. So, my first one is Henry Ruggs, who
Okay.
was the first round pick, the wide receiver out of Alabama. For those that don't know, Henry Ruggs is a speedster, ran a 4.27 40 at the combine, and most people say he actually didn't train that hard specifically for the 40-yard dash because he knew he was going to run in the 4.2s. I mean, this guy is, you know, as fast, if not faster, than Tyreek Hill from the Chiefs. So I'm really interested to see how Gruden will implement him in the game and really just open it up. The second one is personal to me, and Dan, you know this about me. Whenever there's an opportunity to root for a local kid, I will do so. And Harrison Hand, a fifth round pick, cornerback out of Temple, is actually from Cherry Hill. He attended Cherry Hill West. So, you know, I always root for the local guys, whether it's Cherry Hill High School's Camden County, South Jersey. Harrison was a great player, transferred from Baylor to Temple after Matt Rhule, or excuse me, as a grad transfer, had a really strong year at Temple. And looking forward to, I mean, that's a really good defense out in Minnesota. So I'm hopeful that he can catch on and contribute.
Yeah. I appreciate that as well, Brett. We'll see what kind of we'll see who's that standout rookie this year. It should be fun. We're not sure how that's going to work out, obviously, with football yet, with the fans and all that. But it should still be fun. I'm really excited to see the new players play, and it should be a good time. Now, heading on to our next topic, which is our sleeper team. For me, I'll tell you who I picked. I picked the Arizona Cardinals as my sleeper team. They drafted the guy I wanted the Giants to get, Isaiah Simmons, everybody knows. And I think he's just going to come out and be an absolute monster for them. And obviously signing Hopkins was huge. So, and Murray, like, I think Murray's going to have a standout year for them. That's the league nowadays where you need that type of quarterback who can run and do all that. And, who's really mobile. And we'll get into the Giants in just a minute with Daniel Jones, hopefully improving himself. But Hopkins, to me, and Murray, is very, very potential dangerous offensive weapons. And then you have Isaiah Simmons there to hold down your defense. Don't sleep on the Cardinals for me. How about you, Brett?
Yeah, that's a that's a really good one. And another player that I think people sleep on that team is Chandler Jones, who's a really excellent defensive end slash outside linebacker. So my team is actually the Cleveland Browns, who, last year at this time, everyone was talking about them maybe winning the division. It's finally, obviously they got Odell Beckham from our Giants and every and Olivier Vernon. And it was like, oh, the Browns finally did it. Well, if you look at their offseason this year, I think one of the issues that really plagued them last year was their offensive line. And it really stunted Baker Mayfield's growth. So if you look at their acquisitions, they brought in Jack Conklin from the Tennessee Titans. They drafted Jedrick Wills from Alabama, who's going to step in and play tackle. So I really think now more than ever that offensive line is built, to protect Baker Mayfield so that he could distribute the ball to all those weapons. I mean, from Odell Beckham to Jarvis Landry, they picked up Austin Hooper from Atlanta. You got to remember, they have Nick Chubb, who led the league in rushing yards. And his backup is Kareem Hunt, who, I mean, Kareem Hunt, I believe, could probably start for more than half the teams in the NFL. And that, that defense, Myles Garrett's coming back from the suspension. Olivier Vernon's still decent. They had a few other draft picks. They got Grant Delpit in the second round. So I look, I think the AFC North is very competitive, but I could see the Browns sneaking into the wild card. And Dan, as you and I well know, with the last two giant Super Bowl runs, all you got to do is get into the playoffs, and then you never know.
No, absolutely. Once we get in, the sky's the limit, and that's for the Giants. And like you said, with the Browns, they have the most talent on paper, So I don't know, one of these days they're bound to just get into the playoffs. And I think this is going to be the year that they do so. And I appreciate that again. So once again, for me, it's the Cardinals. And for Brett, it is the Cleveland Browns he has picked. Now we will head on to the division standing predictions. Now I have them up. Brett, I don't know if you do where you are, but I'll go through them. We'll just go through them and I'll tell you mine. I'll start with like a division and then you'll say yours and we'll just go division by division.
Sounds good.
And I will go through them. So I'll start out with the NFC West. All right. Now, the Cardinals, I just said, was a sleeper team. Now, this is a pretty deep division. So I'm still going to have the Cardinals last, but we'll definitely go with the Niners one. They were 13-3 last year. Seahawks, we'll do Seahawks over the Rams too. I like how it was last year. I'm going to stay with that. The 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals. Brett, what are you looking at?
I have Seattle first, particularly in light of the trade they had last night with Jamal Adams. Then I have San Francisco. Look, still a really good team. I'm just a little bit nervous that they lost Emmanuel Sanders and also traded away DeForest Buckner. Then I have Arizona, and I have the Rams last. I honestly just think that team has given up so much of their talent, and I just think the luster, the shine is off. So that's my that's my last place team in the NFC West.
Interesting. I like that take too. And the Rams, let's see, they came 9-7 last year. So they did fall off a little bit this offseason. It should be interesting. We'll see. Maybe we'll see Cardinals and Rams. We'll see if they flip-flop this year as my sleeper team. But we'll find out. Moving on now to the NFC North. Let's see. Last year it was Packers, Vikings, Bears, Lions. I think we're going to flip this a little bit. I did not expect that year from the Bears. That was a little bit surprising to me. I'm going to go – I think the Vikings are extremely talented this year. I'm going to have them number one, my Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to go Bears 2, Packers 3, Lions 4. What are you thinking?
Okay, well, so we're in agreement with the Vikings as the division winners. I think it's a really talented team.
Yep.
To me, I don't think Green Bay lost enough to warrant dropping to 3, but it very well could be. So I have Green Bay going to 2, Chicago 3rd, and Detroit heading up the rear.
Yeah. I just say Bears. We'll find out. I mean, everybody knows their defense is, you know, has all that potential. So we'll find out. It should be really interesting. Moving on to our division that we always look into, NFC East. This is probably the best division in the sport. It's always competitive every year, and we hope it is this year. But like I said, let's see, Eagles first last year, Cowboys, Giants, Redskins was the order. And that's how it's probably going to be looking this year. I'm going to go the Eagles. Now, this is interesting to me because if – now, here's what I'll say. I'll say one thing about it. I'll say if Carson Wentz – now, I'm a huge fan of Wentz, all right? I'm not going to bash him. I'm a huge fan of him. But if he starts playing poor, let's say for 1 week or even the first week, you know the media is going to get crazy. First week or second week, and they also have Hurts, who I think has a lot of potential. That was a good pick by them, Jalen Hurts. So I will – and the Cowboys with their new coaching staff now – should be a really interesting division, but I'm going to stick with the order it was last year of Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Redskins. Brett, what are you looking at?
You know, I will say that I think, you know, when I was trying to predict the order of the divisions, the top two spots in the NFC East were the most difficult for me between Dallas and Philly.
Yeah.
I think Dallas is the better team. You know, the other thing that everyone has to take into consideration is when you have a new coaching staff, how much with all the COVID restrictions, you know, is it going to limit their ability to really implement their strategy? Having said that, I just have Dallas just ahead by a little bit, then with Philadelphia, then our Giants, and then last Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be real interesting there. You know, I think 9-10-6 should probably win the division.
Yeah, it's going to be another one of those years. I bet, you know, the last 2 weeks, Philadelphia and Dallas playing for the division, just like the last few years.
Yeah. But hopefully our team is coming, so we'll be there soon. Moving on now, last division in the NFC. We're talking about the NFC South. Last year, we had the order was the Saints, Falcons, Buccaneers, Panthers. Everybody knows the Saints are elite. Breeze, Malcolm Thomas is one of the best receivers in the game. And when they play at home, they are extremely difficult to beat offensively. Let's see. Breeze, I'm going to go with the Saints first here. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers second. Now, obviously, we all know Tampa Bay now. Tom Brady is there. They have a great team now, and Brady's looking to win that division, obviously. And but you know what? I like Drew Brees. I like their offense a little bit better, but I'm going to have the Buccaneers second. So I'm going to go Saints, Buccaneers. Let's see. Falcons came 7-9 last year. Panthers 5-11. That's interesting to me. I'm going to flip-flop them. I like the Panthers. I like McCaffrey. I think he's very dangerous. And I think they're going to have a better year this year. They did lose Cam Newton, their quarterback. But, you know, that's an interesting one to me. But you know what, Matt Ryan? All right. You know what? Saints, Buccaneers, Falcons, Panthers. Brett, what do you got?
Well, you know, I think great minds think alike. I have the exact same order. You know, the Saints, I think, as you said, I think they're an elite team. I also think, you know, a really two really important additions that they had were Emmanuel Sanders on offense, and then also
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins from the Eagles on defense. I think
God, I forgot about that.
that's
Yeah.
really big. Tampa's going to be really good. And then I have Atlanta, because Atlanta finished the season 6-2. So that, obviously, when you're 1-7 to start, 6-2, it's not going to get you to the promised land, but that's
Sure.
still something
Yeah.
to be promising. Carolina, I think, is an intriguing team. I really liked Matt Rhule. I was hoping the Giants were going to get him as their coach. I
Yeah.
think he's going to put together a really good team. I think they're probably a year or two away.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with you totally. And it should be really interesting to see the Panthers team there with Matt Rhule. Obviously, Brett and I wanted him to as a potential coach. So it should be interesting. We will move on now to the American Football Conference and the AFC, and we will start with the AFC North. And this top team is dangerous, and we obviously the Ravens are going to be number one. Then we're going to have the Cleveland Browns for me. That's the next team, and then I'm going to go Steelers, Bengals. Brett, what do you have in store?
So I think Baltimore is one of the top three teams in the NFL. That roster is just stacked.
Yeah.
And while I have Cleveland as a potential sleeper, and I still think they could get in the playoffs, I have Pittsburgh number two. You got that defense is very good. They almost made the playoffs. They almost made the
Yeah.
playoffs with like terrible quarterbacks. And now Roethlisberger's coming back. Then I have Cleveland and Cincinnati. Look, they're in rebuild mode. So,
Yeah.
they're right now I have them in last place.
Yeah. Like you said, I actually said I think Cleveland, Brett, is going to go either 10-6 or 11-5. I think they're going to be that good.
Yeah, it's going to be
You
really
know.
interesting there. Look, I mean, look, we're Giant fans, but I always root for those long-suffering football teams where I mean, they just haven't made the playoffs in forever, never won the Super Bowl, except for the Eagles, that is.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
yeah, I mean, it's it's a they have great fans out there. They've dealt with a lot. I mean, 0-16 seasons and everything else, and it's like let them have a year,
Yeah, exactly. We will move on now to the AFC West. Now, this is the team that is also the second or first or second, you call it what you want, dangerous team now with Patrick Mahomes, obviously, just signing a 10-year deal. Kansas City Chiefs are at the top for me. Kansas City Chiefs. And then, now this is interesting. You got the Broncos, Raiders, Chargers. Broncos and Raiders, let's see, they finished with the same record last year, 7-9. I'm going to say Oakland goes second. I'm going to have Broncos and then Chargers. What are you thinking there, Brett?
It's so in a way this is an easy division, and in another way it's complicated. So it's easy because Kansas City easily wins the division. I mean,
No
this
doubt.
team
Yeah.
is poised to be in the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game for the next several years. But it's really difficult to rank the next three. I actually have the Chargers as the number two team. I really like their defense. I think they have enough offensive talent where they could score just enough points, but I really like that defense. I have the Raiders as my number three team and the Broncos as number four. It's almost though interchangeable. And I got to tell you, I like the direction of all of those teams. So even though, for instance, I have the Broncos fourth, I think this is a team that another year or two with a few more pieces are going to be really good. I like what they're starting to build on offense.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's one of those things where it could go either way after the Chiefs. So, that should be one of the more interesting divisions, the AFC West, as well. Like we said, in the NFC East. So this will be the one that's the most interesting in the AFC. Moving on now to the AFC East. Now, maybe I should just hold that thought as the AFC East comes in, and I don't think we ever would have said it, but Tom Brady is out of this division. And now we have the Patriots, Bills, Jets, and Dolphins. And now it gives the other teams the chance. Now, this is the division where I think to me, Josh Allen just goes off. I mean, for the Bills, I have them number one. I think, that team has so much potential this year and for the next upcoming years, I think they're going to be extremely talented. So I think Buffalo, and they have a great fan base. They're going to have the best fan bases. So I think Bills number one. Let's see. Dolphins still have a couple years to go. They did have a good draft. Jets, yeah, Darnold. I'm not a fan of him. I'm not too high on him. I'm going to go Bills, Patriots, Jets, Dolphins. What are you thinking, Brett?
Great minds think alike, and I
Yeah.
have it the exact same as you. You know, Buffalo. Look, New England has Cam Newton now. And if Cam
Yeah.
Newton can be the Cam Newton of several years ago, there's a very good chance they win the division. The thing is, to me, you know, that team is really built on their defense. But they had, you know, they lost a few of their guys to Miami, a few of their guys to Detroit. So I don't think the defense is going to be as good as they were last year. So to me, I'm picking Buffalo to win the division, then New England, Jets, Miami.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I have too. So that should be a real interesting one to see how Cam Newton performs on the Patriots. And obviously we will see what type of year Josh Allen has. Should be a standout breakout year for him. The last division we have for the AFC is the AFC South, with the Texans, Titans, Colts, and Jaguars. And yes, I'm putting the Titans at the top. The Titans, to me, have an extremely talented team that is really, I think, one of the most underrated teams as the Titans. Derrick Henry, obviously, we all know, is a monster back there. And Tannehill performed extremely well last year for them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have the Titans at the top. And then, obviously, I know everybody probably hate me for this. Say, well, you know, Deshaun Watson. I mean, you're talking about an extremely talented quarterback. But, you know, I like the depth of the Titans more. So, and they obviously the Texans just lost that weapon, Hopkins.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Titans, Texans. Now, this is interesting. Jaguars, Colts. No, I do. I'm going to say the Colts and then the Jaguars. What are you thinking, Brett?
So I agree with you in terms of the division winner. I really like the Titans. I mean, you know, if you think about it, they were beating the Chiefs by 10 points in the AFC Championship game. They went into Baltimore, beat them, went into New England, and ended the Tom Brady era. It's a what I really like about Tennessee, it's an old-school kind of team, very physical, you know, with Derrick Henry. You know, it's like a boxer who just throws, you know, those bruising body shots, and they just wear you down. So I really like Tennessee. I have coming in second, Indianapolis.
Okay. Wow.
I think they're actually kind of similar to Tennessee with their offense, because they have a really good offensive line. Quentin Nelson is the best offensive lineman in the entire sport, and if he keeps it up, is a future Hall of Famer. You know, they drafted Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. Really, I like their run game. If Phillip Rivers can just manage it and the defense can step up a little bit, that might even be a wild card team. Houston, you know, I love Deshaun Watson. I think he's one of the best players in the NFL. But as good as he is, you can't every year continue to take weapons away from him. And yeah. I don't understand why they traded away DeAndre Hopkins. I don't care how disgruntled he was. You know, it should have been their job to make him happy. The Jacksonville Jaguars are one of the least talented teams in the NFL. And I would venture to say that they are probably in the lead for the first pick of the 2021 draft.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's interesting. You got the Colts and then the Texans. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. We should see how that goes. You know, that's a good take though, too, by you. Cause you know, obviously Watson lost all of his options. So,
yeah. I mean, look, he got back Brandon Cooks, but the problem with Brandon Cooks is really good when he's on the field, but I worry he's had a lot of concussions now. And, you know, that's something to take seriously. One more and he might just say, look, I'm done. And his production last year fell way off with the Rams. So, I mean, yeah, you got Brandon Cooks, but he's not DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And I thank you for that. We have just gone through the standings, me and Brett have for. And now we will turn it to what we think is going to be the best defensive team this year, as well as the best offensive team. For me, I have the best defensive team. This is interesting. Now, I either had the Vikings, which are pretty deep defensively, or the 49ers. Now, I wanted the Giants to sign the Niners defensive coordinator in Robert Saleh to be their head coach. I think he's extraordinary, but, you know, they did not do that. They went the route of, obviously, the other coach. But the best offensive team I have is the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes just signing the 10-year deal. And Joe Judge, excuse me, the coach of the Giants, but the Chiefs 10-year deal for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And obviously with his weapons, it's just – and the way he moves and it escapes pockets. I mean, Brett, I mean, best offensive team, Chiefs, you know, I don't know if you disagree with that.
No, I definitely don't. It's to me, that's one of the easiest questions anybody could almost ask in the end, about the NFL. They're just supremely talented. And then they also drafted in the first round a really good running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU, who I think is going to fit in perfectly with that team and gives them more of a receiving threat like they had with Kareem Hunt before they let him go after the domestic violence issues. And I had mentioned earlier just two other teams that I think give them another year that I'm really excited about their potential in terms of their offense. It's Denver and Arizona. So those are two teams that I think will be really entertaining to watch. And defensively, yeah, for me, this was a tough one. There's several good defenses. Minnesota, like you mentioned, San Francisco is up there. I had to go Baltimore.
Okay, interesting.
I feel like the addition of Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe on the defensive line really toughens them up. And Calais Campbell also brings a pass rushing element. You still have Matt Judon on the franchise tag. They were able to draft two excellent inside linebackers in Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison. And their defensive backfield is excellent with Marlon Humphrey and Earl Thomas. I just view that as the best defense right now.
Yeah, and I could also flip that for the Ravens with the offense too, with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I think that is, I didn't mention that, but that is potentially extremely dangerous. I mean, but we all saw what he did last year with his escaping ability and his running ability. It's just extremely hard to get to him. I think Lamar Jackson is going to be extremely talented like he was last year. So Mahomes and Lamar Jackson got to be your top two quarterbacks
Yeah.
right now. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
yeah.
Just so talented. I mean, different kinds of quarterbacks, but so talented to watch. It's just going to be interesting to see if more defenses try to emulate what Tennessee did against Baltimore in the playoffs, which is just sell out for the run and make Lamar Jackson beat you with his arm.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what teams should do and hopefully will do if you're
Yeah.
playing them.
Yeah.
But next topic we will get into now is which player will have the most fantasy points. And for me, Brett, I don't know if you disagree, but I think this is an easy one for me. I have the first pick in a couple of fantasy drafts, and Patrick Mahomes is my guy.
Look, I think that's a good one. Normally people will tell you that quarterbacks aren't as valuable in the
Right.
fantasy realm. And obviously it depends on the fantasy league because some with the points per reception, you might want to go receiver. I actually still have Christian McCaffrey
Okay.
because
Yeah.
that look, he was so good last year. Stays healthy. He's gotten a little bit bigger, so he's able to do those inside runs. Matt Rhule is the kind of guy who likes to pound the ball, and he's also such a good receiving option that he's just a total package. And if I had to pick a second guy right now, it'd probably be Saquon.
I was intrigued. I was like, should you pick a quarterback first? Should you not? That's interesting. I was thinking about those two players, like you just said. So I have to maybe rethink it or maybe stay with Mahomes, but we will find out. Next topic, we're going to get into our team now, the Giants,
Yep.
and it should be interesting this year. Like everybody knows, I'm a huge fan of Daniel Jones. I basically like, I support him in every way, and how do I think he will look this year? That's our topic. How do we think he will look this year?
Yeah.
Well, obviously the information came out about him working out in this quarantine and what he's done. He's put on a
Yeah.
couple pounds and he's working on his ball protection. Everybody's seen a couple of videos of him working out and getting himself into top shape so he can obviously take care of the ball better. That was a huge problem. Escaping, just taking the ball better, keeping excuse me, taking care of the ball better. But this year, I think, don't sleep on Daniel Jones. I think a better season than last year, not a star, but he's going to have a very, very respectable season. Brett, what do you think?
So before I go into the football component, I think, and Dan, I'm sure you would agree, Daniel Jones has been everything the Giants have asked for in terms of the person. He
Absolutely.
is he's come in. I mean, he handled the whole Eli Manning situation with grace, and I think he's really become a leader. I think the fact that he put on the 10 pounds of muscle really shows how invested he is, and the team really does seem to respond to him. So I think from that perspective, he's been everything you could ask. you know, when you went back, you know, watched some of the games again, you know, when the pandemic hit, I don't, you know, they gave everyone had free access to NFL Game Pass, which was nice because you actually had the all 22 film of each game. So I went back and I was looking through some of the games and, you know, look, Daniel Jones needs to improve his pocket awareness, his ability to read zone defenses, his accuracy on the deep balls. I think he could do it. And I really like the fact, and I know this is going into one of the other questions you mentioned you want to go over. I like the fact that we have Jason Garrett there to help him. Yeah. Like with COVID, it's going to be difficult, but I think he takes positive steps forward. And he's going to be, I view him as around like a top 15 quarterback in the league this year.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Brett. And, you know, I think it's like you said, you know, like I think this is the perfect quarterback to take the place of Eli, you know, because I think he has some of the exact, you know, same traits. He's a very classy guy. And I think, like you said, the team responds to him in a positive way.
Yeah.
And this is a great, and I think actually the coaching staff that they brought in is going to be really good for him.
Yeah.
So I think that this should actually be better than a lot of people are thinking here. And now we will get into, just like I mentioned, the coaching staff and how we think that will be this year, obviously, with the Giants signing the new offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett. Joe Judge is now the head coach, and the defensive coordinator now is they signed from Miami.
Yeah.
Now this is interesting. Now, you know, obviously last year, our coaching, was very skeptical. It was not good to me. But I'm glad that they brought in Joe Judge. My first impressions of the coaching staff, obviously we only have first impressions. We didn't see them in game action yet, but, Judge, I think he's going to hold these players accountable, Brett. And I think that, you know, he does, you can obviously see he has that mentality that he doesn't take any, you know, crap. He doesn't take anything from players, that he's going to make sure that everybody's respected in that locker room and everybody earns their position, which is the way he's going to approach this. And the way that he wants to do it, which I think is a good thing to do for these young players, is earn your spot. You know, this is a rebuilding team, earn your spot. And I think that's a good way to handle it. Now, on the other side, Jason Garrett, coming in for the offensive coordinator. This is a little bit of an interesting thing for Giants fans to see, obviously, from the Cowboys all those years and us hating on him. This is, should be interesting, but maybe we'll find a soft spot for him now on the Giants with him. Brett, what are your takes, first of all, on Joe Judge? Obviously, as the new coach, what do you think he'll bring to the table? And then Jason Garrett with the offense and handling Daniel Jones.
Well, you know, I as we sort of alluded to earlier, I mean, you like Robert Saleh, who was also a really good option, and we both like Matt Rhule. But, you know, the Joe Judge hire sort of came out of left field. But, you know, so far, I like everything I'm hearing. You know, and when you – they've done a few – some of the beat writers have done a deeper dig on him. You know, I mean, the fact that he was entrusted by both Nick Saban and Bill Belichick to handle various components of the team – I think really speaks volumes about him. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why a special teams coordinator? Well, if you think about the last special teams coordinator to become to go directly from that position to head coach, it was Harbaugh down in Baltimore, and he's done a great job. I'm rooting for him, obviously, because I'm a Giant fan, but there's a lot of things that I like about him. It's just the huge X factor, or the elephant in the room, is how does COVID affect all of this? I just think it makes it really difficult for new coaches. So, you know, in that sense, I almost feel as if a lot of the coaches that are new are almost going to have like a mulligan, to steal one of your golf terms, you know, this year, if they don't do as well. But I think he's going to be good. And I think he brought on a lot of thoughtful and intelligent coaches. Jason Garrett is a really bright guy. You know, I think at some point, you know, I think he actually just let the team and everything else around him just become too much. But as a football mind, Jason Garrett is very good. And, you know, it's weird. I mean, yeah, so he started his career as a backup for Troy Aikman. But, you know, a lot of people forget he actually was the backup for the Giants for 3 years, and actually was on the Giants Super Bowl team when they lost in Super Bowl 35. So he has a lot of connections to the Giants organization. Really likes the Mara and Tisch families. So, you know, I think he's going to be very good for Daniel Jones in the offense. And I like Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator. You know, look, it's tough to evaluate what he did in Miami because Miami had nothing, right? Yeah. And particularly after they traded away Minkah Fitzpatrick, there was literally nothing. But prior to that, he was in Green Bay, and you know, the Giants brought on a few linebackers from Green Bay that had really good years under him.
So Blake Martinez.
Blake Martinez and Kyler Fackrell, who had 10 sacks under him. So yeah, that's going to be really interesting. I'm cautiously optimistic with the Graham hire.
Okay.
That's the way I'd put it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's one of those things where right now, Brett and I can only do first impression of these guys, you know, right now we'll have to see what it turns out to be. But Brett and I think we agree that it's mostly positive. We're getting positive vibes from it, and we hope that it will come out that way. We definitely don't want to head back in the wrong direction. We only want to go upward from here, and we hope to do so. Moving on to our next topic, we have the most excited player we want to see on the Giants this year. And for me, I think this is the most underrated player in the league to me. I have Darius Slayton. I think Darius Slayton is going to have a tremendous season. I think he's going to be the leading receiver for the Giants. I think Daniel Jones and Darius are like best friends out there on the field. They know where to find each other. You can just see this from last couple of years, especially last year. I mean, these guys are like, they know exactly where each other are. You know, Daniel Jones feels most comfortable throwing to him. Darius Slayton is going to be racking up the yardage this year in the receiving department. Brett, what are you thinking?
Well, once again, great minds think alike. I actually did an offensive and defensive player, but my offensive player was Darius Slayton. You know, just he really flashed last year and did a really nice job. You know, he's very fast. He could stretch the field. I mean, he ran in the 4.3s in the combine, but he's also a bigger body. I mean, he's about 6'2", you know, close to 200 pounds, maybe a little over 200. So, you know, he's sturdy enough to deal with bump and run coverage and get across the middle. And he had a great year. I'm really excited to see what he can do in year two. My defensive player, I think this guy could really be the key for the defense, is another second-year player. It's O'Shane Simonez. Yeah. The X-Man, you know, he had decent numbers as a rookie coming in, you know, in occasional pass rushing situations. And you know, it kind of, and I'm not saying he's Justin Tuck, but if you looked at the trajectory of Justin Tuck, his first year, he was an occasional pass rusher, came in. Yeah. I remember he flashed against Seattle, had an amazing game against Walter Jones, and everyone's like, okay, this guy's got it. And, you know, then the next few years, he just got better and better. Same with OC. OC, his first 2 years, just slowly built. So I'd really hope that we can see a progression out of O'Shane Simonez, came out of Old Dominion, because that really is a component of our defense that we've been lacking for the last few years, which is a solid pass rush.
Absolutely, Brett. And, that's the biggest point you made, you know, because – the Giants build their team on defense. You know, it all starts with defense. Obviously, we know. And if we can get back to that core defensive front that we had, you know, you're talking about problems, because that's where the Giants are at their best, when they can get to the quarterback and cause issues and ultimately get sacks and cause disruptions. We saw it, obviously, with Umanura, Tuck, and obviously Pierre Paul in those days. So it's a Kiwanuka. You know, we can go on, but, you know, it's a big deal. And that's where the Giants build their team on. So last but not least, today we're going to talk Super Bowl predictions. And for me, I'm going to go Chiefs from the AFC, obviously. And I'm going to go, this is interesting. Now you pick your poison with the NFC here. This is interesting. You know, I know the Niners, you had the Seahawks first in there. I might take an X factor team in here. I'm going to go with, this is interesting. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Okay.
I'm going to go Vikings Chiefs this year. Brett, what are you thinking?
You know, that would be a repeat of Super Bowl IV when the Chiefs beat the Vikings. So I have the Chiefs over the Saints. You know, I just, that Kansas City team, you know, and particularly, like I said, the other big thing with COVID, you know, I mean, they have 19 of 22 starters returning. That, you know, it just, they could hit the ground running. They really don't have to deal with much turnover. They're just gonna off, and I just I don't see how a team stops them. The one thing that I think is going to be interesting to take into account when it comes to the playoffs, A, there's going to be what's it, seven teams from each conference now. But the other thing is, no team is really going to have home field advantage per se, right? I mean, you're going to have some in terms of the weather. So if a cold weather team has a dome team coming, you'll have that. But I mean, so that's the only thing that gives me hesitation with, for instance, like the Saints, because the Saints are usually very difficult at home, even though the last 2 years they've lost at home. But they're not going to have any home field advantage now because there's not going to be anyone in
Perfect
the
take.
stands.
Yep. That's funny.
So, but either way, I still think, the addition of Emmanuel Sanders on offense, the addition of Malcolm Jenkins on defense, I really think that puts him over the top. This, to me, this is Drew Brees last year, and it just go out with a bang. Unfortunately, I just think the Chiefs are have too much firepower, and but that would be a really exciting Super Bowl.
No. I agree with you, and obviously we all know that, Brady and the Bucks. You got 240-something-year-olds playing in there, with the NFC South. You got Brees and you got Brady, so it should be interesting, And I think, like you said, with no fans, the Saints could, and that's a great take by you. Definitely will take a dip with that, Obviously, with all that home field advantage they had, obviously a lot of teams will take a dip with that, and we should see how that turns out. But once again, for Brett, he has the Chiefs and the Saints. For me, I went with the Chiefs and the Vikings, and it should be a real interesting year. We are looking forward for the NFL to get back on track and for the season to start up again. Obviously, sports have already started up again, and I'm excited about that. But Brett, that is going to do it for us here at Crunch Time Opinion. Brett, I want to thank you again for taking some time out of your day to join me. Once again, you can catch Brett's podcast at In the Fight and Goal Line Stand Show. And once again, you can stream them on all platforms. That is at GL Stand Show and at In the Fight. Brett, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to join me. And I hope you stay well, man, and stay safe.
My pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much. Love the
Thank you so
show.
much, Brett. Take care.
Take
Bye-bye.
care.